Welcome to Season 2 of SharePint, as we continue to tap into the craft beer scene. I'm Jerry Holla, your host.
Today I'm talking with Adam Davis from Burley Oak Brewing. Thanks for being on the show, Adam.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
This building is over 100 years old and has a really interesting history. Mm-hmm. Share that with our audience, as well as talk a little bit about the name Burley Oak.
Sure. So the building used to be an old cooperage, which is where they make barrels. After that, when we came in, it was a former restaurant supply company, I believe. They just had, dishwashers, you know, bar equipment and stuff like that. Brian started leasing the property and then had a agreement to own after a few years. Bought the property and we've been filling it out as much as we can since.
That's awesome. How long have you guys been open?
10 years will be our anniversary, August 26th.
I thought it was coming up. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're starting to do throwback beers from old recipes. We got one we'll be bringing out called Alcapoco Gold. Mm-hmm. It's an IPA. It's named after a regular Al who's done a bunch of help construction projects around here.
Cool.
He's a good guy.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Way to honor the local community and people have stuck with you and all.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
He was also a big investor in our initial canning line. We did kind of a GoFundMe crowdfunded thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was part of the thing is whatever, you donate this much, you get that, whatever. He donated, I don't know whatever amount, but he came in and we brewed a beer with him and he got to name it and all that.
That's very cool. That's fantastic. Well, the town of Berlin, Maryland, where you're located, also has some interesting history. Talk a little bit about that and how that ties into the brewery and then your community ties.
So Berlin, it's been around for, my house, I live down the street, is over 100 years old. There's several houses in town that are almost 150 some years old. It's kind of an old farm town. It's just outside of Ocean City, Maryland. So there's a big tourism highway right through here on Route 50. But it's kind of the local kind of getaway from the big beach crowds. So this is the nearest kind of town, kind mm-hmm. of home, family community outside of the beach area here. Burley name is a big family name from this area. There's a Burley Street in town. There was a Burley Tavern that actually shut down recently. I think it's reopening under new ownership. But the Burley family name is a big name around here. I guess it goes back to farmland. They owned huge swaths of property around here. But that was kind of, the name choice that Brian came up with for the location was honoring the history of the town. Mm-hmm. And then also Burley Oak, in terms of oak, have oak-aged beers and kind of wood-inspired and fermentation kind of fun with that name.
Mm-hmm. And then you were saying that this used to be a cooperage, and I looked at it back in the 1900s, putting seafood and other things in barrels for shipping, and also there is that tie as well, which is, that's really great when a brewery can really connect with their community and it's reflected in everything they do with their brand.
Mm-hmm. And it just really rounds out the kind of the vibe and name of who we are and tie it in with the town, yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, one of the things I love about Maryland breweries is so many of them use local ingredients and as much as possible. And I know that's something that you take a lot of pride in here. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, we have a farm. We don't own it, but we co-op with a farmer down there, and he grows a couple thousand pounds of wheat for us every year, and barley. We have it sent up to a maltster in Massachusetts and brought back down to us. Every year we get to go out and ride the tractor and stuff like that, do some planting and harvesting and stuff. So that's a really fun day. And then we use that beer or that malt in a couple of our beers. We have one of them we use it in all the time called Homegrown Session IPA.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of to honor him and all that he does for us growing that malt. It's all Citra, really kind of medium bodied but low ABV fun IPA.
Okay. Cool. And I mean, that's great. We talk to a lot of farm breweries in Maryland, and that's a really great symbiotic relationship when that can happen. And you have a place to take your spent grain. And
sure. Yep. Yeah. We also have a farmer that takes our spent grain. He feeds cattle every year, and he gives us more than enough beef on a yearly basis. We go through and fill the freezer, and then we get to pick away at it as we want.
Nice. That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, everyone had to pivot due to COVID. Talk a little bit about what you guys did to survive, especially given that, as you mentioned earlier, Berlin's a small town, it's close to Ocean City, and Ocean City is really just a kind of a big tourist and vacation destination. So maybe talk a little bit about how you guys pivoted and what you were able to do given the seasonal nature of this area.
Right. I mean, before all of that, as far as our packaging mentality was, we put about half of our beer into cans and half of it into kegs. After all the shutdowns happened, the bars and restaurants in Ocean City were closing. We wound up putting everything in cans for the most part. Like 90-95% of everything went into cans. Mm-hmm. We had a little bit in the tap room just to keep the tap room floated with beer. We were doing to-go beer out the door, so packaged stuff was the priority. Mm-hmm. We've sent beer out. We sent a shipping container to China at one point.
Wow.
That saved us early on because we had our fridges full of keg beer that was just going to sit there and die. You know, mm-hmm. We need to do something with it. So mm-hmm. basically we pressure racked all that kegs to plastic disposable kegs and put it on a container and sent it off so we could keep making beer because there was a point where all of our fridges were filled and we're looking at what are we going to do.
Right.
But it was amazing. All of our bar staff, we pretty much kept all of them. Rather than bartending, they became like secondary packaging people. We were crowling beer off the draft system, sending it out the door, drive up to go, started mailing beer. But it was amazing how busy they were. Like, we were selling through beer almost faster than we were prior, out the tap room at least, because there was nowhere for them to get it other than here. You know, I mean, we could send it to retail stores, but some retail stores were shutting down, but all the bars and stuff around here were closed, so people wanted their beer.
Yeah.
They came and got it. It was amazing. It was really cool to see the bartenders still getting tipped from people doing this to-go service, walk-up stuff. The community vibe in terms of people wanting to see them and still interact with our bar staff was really cool for them, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great that you're able to keep everybody and just kind of shift them into other roles. I know not every brewery was able to do that, but that's great, especially in the smaller community. Not only were you able to do that, but like you said, your community really kind of came through for you and helped. And you guys have a really nice beer garden out there, pretty expansive. I'm sure that helped during part of the time when people couldn't be in the tap room.
Absolutely. Yeah, we expanded the beer garden. We added some like a barrel wall out there to give more room for outdoor service. Had to buy a ton of picnic tables, fill that area with seating as much as we were allowed to have out there, keeping people like socially distanced and happy that way.
Right.
But at one point when we started opening back up, it was only outdoor stuff, so it had to be out there and we were serving people out in the beer garden. Then it's table service inside and now we can have people at the bar again. But it's so busy that we need like a section of the bar for like walk-up service and like no bar stools here.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, and also I noticed that there's a stage out there and came by, there's live music. So as things are starting to open back up now, it looks like that space is going to continue to pay off for you.
Yeah, absolutely. We built that stage a couple years ago. We get some really famous acts in town, but that's been really cool to see the music kind of venue ability for us to pick up back again. We built that stage maybe 2-3 years ago, and our idea was it was to have a really cool music venue. We've always been about like celebrating the arts. I mean, we see brewing as an art. Every month we have Artist of the Month on the wall here where they come in and we change them out every month. They keep all the proceeds of anything they sell here, and it's really cool to have the tap room changing and being refreshed every month with really cool local artists. Mm-hmm. We also have the music venue downtown is the Globe Theater. So that's a really cool opportunity for us to have even more live music and bands come in, and local bands, big name acts too, like national acts. So it's really, really cool.
That's fantastic. Well, not only were you able to survive COVID here, but you also opened a second location in Del Mar, Delaware, back in December 2020, called Local Branch. So tell us about that experience and what allowed you guys to expand during the pandemic.
Yeah. That had kind of been in the works for a little while. So the location has some history behind it too. It's formerly Evolution Craft Brewing Company's original location.
Okay.
And then it was Third Wave Brewing Company. The owner over there, Sue Ellen, I guess she had wanting to kind of let it go for a little while, and her and Brian had talks about transferring the kind of ownership over and letting us take control over it and giving us some extra capacity at the same time. Mm-hmm. As far as an expansion, it in our mind it wasn't necessarily seem like as huge expansion growth. It's a smaller brew house than here, smaller system. Their capacity over there is probably about half of what we can do here.
Okay.
But it gives us the ability to do like more experimental, smaller batch stuff, which is kind of get back to the fun things of brewing, you know?
Yeah.
At some point, you kind of become production slaves to the things that we have to make here all the time, and we don't get to do those fun things as much because there's no time to do it.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to get back to that stuff and do it over there.
Absolutely. What was it about that location that you guys felt was right?
For us, it's kind of similar to Berlin, mm-hmm. In terms of small town aspect and like community and family. It was local and we could manage it. There might be some talks about opening up some other locations similar like that in other areas that we've kind of been exploring.
Mm-hmm.
So this was kind of stage one in terms of trying to make that happen. How can we reproduce this concept in another location, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start small and close by so we can figure it out on our end, and then maybe we can pull that off in some other key areas that we want to have our beer in. We send beer all over the country, Boston, New York, Miami, LA. So it may be smarter to have a brewery in those locations rather than transit the beer and have fun with it that way,
okay.
Not have to pay for shipping as much and freight, you know?
Right, absolutely. Well, you talked about sometimes becoming a slave to production and what you need to brew. So it kind of segues into probably arguably your most popular series, the Dream Series. So for our audience that's unfamiliar, tell us what it stands for.
Sure.
And then talk a little bit about evolution because it's really grown into something.
Oh yeah. That beer kind of put us on the map. We started it maybe four and a half years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of our brewers' names, Ian. It was his idea as far as the name and style concept, but Dream is an acronym, J-R-E-A-M.
Mm-hmm.
Juice rules everything around me. And it's a heavily fruited sour series with lactose. So it's a kettle sour. We use a house strain of lactobacillus. We produce the wort, hold it in the kettle overnight, have our strain of lactobacillus chewing away on the sugars in there, creating lactic acid and souring the beer, lowering the pH. So the pH of that, a normal beer would be around 5.2.
Mm-hmm.
So this beer comes in at anywhere between 3.1 and maybe 3.5 pH.
Mm-hmm.
So that lactic acid is producing the acidity and the sourness. And then we boil that beer again, add lactose, some hops, and then send it to a fermenter and let the yeast turn it into alcohol, and then we add the fruit heavily. And that's just become our kind of bread and butter beer that everybody drives here for. All different ones. I think we've done over 150 different variants of it. Put out 2 to 3 of them every month. We have monthly can releases where we release 5 beers. That grew from doing one beer at a time at 30 cases to like adding another beer, and then we'll do 50 case runs. And then we're canning off hundreds of cases of these beers a month, mm. and having monthly can releases. It was another thing in terms of the pivoting, as we were talking about before. We just got back to having our first Line Life can release where people would come here,
mm-hmm.
Hang out on the property all morning and then get to come through and buy beer. Up until this point, everything was like online pre-sale. So rather than have droves of people here waiting and congregating here, we were selling everything online. So Monday before their can release was you could buy it pre-sale and then you could come the next like following week and pick all the beer up. Fridge space is at a priority for us. So like being able to have the people here, get the beer off the property, be able to reload fridges is kind of how we need to be able to sell beer to keep up with what we're doing.
Right. Well, that was nice because, like I said, it's really grown into something that, like you said, if you hadn't figured out a way around it, it would be, you know, we're all waiting in line and, you know, people trading it. I mean, like it's really very, very popular. And seeing that you ship so many places and even all the way over the world, now it makes a little more sense to me where it's really gained its steam. I mean, being here in Maryland, I understand. Right. Sometimes we can't even get it across the bay. It's so popular.
It's really cool to see the people that have come here for these can releases. I mean, met people that have flown in from Chicago, driving down from New York, up from North Carolina, Boston. People fly in from LA to come here to buy beer during our can releases. We've got one guy that has come numerous times from Thailand.
Wow.
I'm like, blown away. I met this guy, and we talked a few times, and then he always lets us know when he's coming, and it's good to see him.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's blows your mind. I never would have expected us to be able to have that kind of international reach.
Absolutely.
For how small we are.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, when people kind of look and see this, they'll see that, you know, it's beautiful property out here, but it may not be as large as they think, given the name. That's a lot like when we talk with Mark Osborne at Adroit Theory. Uh-huh. You know, they're much smaller than people think,
right.
And their reach is so global that, you know, when people look at the episode, they're like, that place seems so tiny. It seems like it's almost a nano brewery. And I was like, well, it's not quite that small, but it is much smaller than you think. And
right.
Then they do a lot of gypsy brewing to be able to have other places to to brew and stay up with production. So it's fantastic when you can have that kind of reach and people are really that interested in your beer.
Yeah, every now and then when I'm coming in and out through the brew house door, we'll have a customer that's like, that's it?
That's funny.
Right.
Well, speaking of kind of that's it, you have a second almost secret bar kind of tucked away called The Cellar. So tell our audience about that if you don't mind, kind of giving up the secret, because I don't think it's what they think when they hear the name, it's something different.
Right. It's kind of turned into different things now already. So we opened it as The Cellar. It was kind of our barrel age area.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought an oak fooder, which is basically just a big oak tank, similar, it's same as a barrel, just much bigger.
Okay.
And then we have a bottling tank over there we use for all of our true sours, not just kettle sours. So our barrel program, we have Brett infected beers, lacto beers, all sorts of actual true sours working. And that was kind of our packaging and special area to feature those beers.
Mm-hmm.
So we were gonna have kind of different draft lines over there, different draft lists and stuff like that. Since we've actually turned it into a taco shop now, since we acquired the other brewery, we've moved all of our barrel program over there.
Mm.
So now it's called Uno Mas. It's a taco shop. In terms of opening that space for customer area, it's more people that we can fit in there. The barrels took up a lot of space,
right.
So we weren't able to have as much people on the property, and that's kind of keeps us going, being able to have them here. Moving that barrel program over there, giving the experimental side and the small batch stuff the ability to be done over there was key to us.
Gotcha. So not really a secret anymore.
We still have a sign up there that says The Cellar. So, but yeah, it was more usable space for us to do that.
That's great. That's great. Well, where can people find Burley Oak online? You know, website, social media?
Right. I mean, we're on Facebook, Burley Oak Brewing Company, Burley Oak on Instagram. A lot of our stuff is more targeted on Instagram, and then we just everything's cross-posted to Facebook. Otherwise, the brewery is a local branch brewing company over in Del Mar, Delaware. They have local branch on Instagram as well, but reach out on both of them.
Sounds good. Well, we'll put that on our show notes at our website at sharepintpodcast.com. We've learned about Burley Oak. Let's get to know you a little better, Adam, in a new segment that we call Straight from the Tap. It's a series of 7 rapid-fire questions. You can expand on them if you want. Otherwise, we'll just fire away. So if you're up for it,
yeah,
awesome. What's your favorite style of beer?
IPAs. That's my go-to. I love the Fruited Sours. I love the Dream Series. I love just trying them, new flavors and stuff like that. But my day drinker would be an IPA.
Gotcha. Sounds good. What style do you wish more people appreciated, drank, or brewed?
IPAs are so vastly popular, so that can't be the answer. Pilsners never get enough love.
I'm giving it some love right now. Very good. And the Sea Heathen was really good as well.
Yeah. It's such a clean beer in terms of producing a beer that style. There's nothing to hide off flavors behind, so it's very technical and a difficult beer to pull off, you know? So I guess that would be high on the list. Interesting one would be the fruited sours. People come in here all the time and have never had a kettle sour, a fruited kettle sour like that. Mm-hmm. We have wine drinkers that come in and say they don't drink beer, like, try this. Or like the other oddity is our porter. If someone who really likes wine comes in and they don't drink beer, they're with a couple buddies that drink beer, we've offered them the porter, mm-hmm. and they love it. It's Bunker C. I guess the kind of the maltiness of like a, it's almost similar to a red wine in some aspect.
Okay.
Which is always surprising that like the first beer you might try and like is a porter.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not the first most approachable beer that I'd be pushing to somebody who's just getting into craft beer, but it works.
I agree. I kind of grew into stouts and porters after spending 3 years in northern Minnesota, yeah. and understanding in the colder climate, this is why people drink these beers. And so
right.
I don't even think I appreciated it as much then until I moved down to Laredo in South Texas, and it's like 100 degrees every day. And who wants to drink a stout or a porter? And I'm like, man, I miss stouts and porters. So,
yeah.
Right.
Well, who are one or two of your biggest influences?
Wow. Not sure how to answer that one. My father.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hard worker. In terms of the craft beer world.
Any way you want to take the question is fine, yeah.
I mean, I guess some of the early guys. I read a bunch of books like Charlie Papazian, How to Brew. Vinny Salerzo, Russian River, obviously Sam Calagione and Dogfish. Just read a bunch of those old books. What was from Lagunitas? I forget his name. But I read his book early on. That was very interesting to hear his story of how he started that brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Really good read.
Good. Who would you most like to collab with that you haven't already?
Omnipolo would be high on that list. They were kind of some of the inspiration for the Dream Series. At the time, people weren't doing that in the U.S., and that's kind of what we wanted to bring and bring to the table. We've always given them a nod in terms of the inspiration for us for producing mm-hmm. that beer because mm-hmm. we can't get it, you know?
Right.
After that, it started exploding, and now everybody's making the same style. That'd be number one for me.
Gotcha. Sounds good. Most memorable place you've ever had a beer?
Wakefest in Miami was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Wakefield Brewing Company makes amazing stouts, and just what you were saying before as far as people wanting stouts in hot climates, like mm-hmm. it is unreal how thick and heavy and high ABV their stouts are down there.
Okay.
And how sought after they are. Going down there for the first time was really cool to see that experience and have that fun with them. Big festival down there. The night before, they have a huge brewer's party at the brewery, and then the next day is the festival. So it's a good time to network and meet people, and met a lot of people.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And hopefully we're getting close to having those types of events again.
Right.
Okay, what person, living or dead, would you most like to share a pint with, and what would it be a pint of? I love this question.
That's tough. I kind of want to say some sort of comedian or something. Jerry Seinfeld would be awesome.
Uh-huh.
I think that might be it.
That's good. Last one. When COVID is over and travel is safe again, where are you most looking forward to drinking a beer?
We had the opportunity to go to the UK just before the shutdown. We were going to go to Scotland. It would have been a really fun trip. One day we'll get to go. We've had talks of going. We do a collab every so often with Evil Twin Brewing out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nice to do traveling again, get back to LA, get down to Miami, Boston, places we typically go to. Extreme Beer Fest in Boston is always a good time.
Okay.
They did one in LA and then Wakefield. Miami is always great.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Well, shifting back to the brewery, what can we expect from Burley Oak in the coming months as far as collabs, releases, events, things like that?
We have some collabs in the works with Imprint Beer Company. That one's exciting. We're doing a double collab with them that we'll be releasing probably the end of this week or next week. I'm still waiting on fruit to get here, so shipping delays are a real thing.
Absolutely.
But then it was a double collab. We did one with them at Local Branch, we did one with them at Burley Oak, and they're kind of meant to be cuvée'd together, so blended together, and have fun with like similar flavors that we can mix together. Mm-hmm. Currently, we're talking about trying to maybe throw a huge festival, invite all of the breweries that we've worked with in the past, invite a bunch of them that we haven't worked with, we'd like to work with. Mm-hmm. Everybody that show up would be phenomenal. We're looking for venues and dates and stuff right now. So that could be something really big and really fun that we have on the back burner.
Absolutely. That would be fantastic. That's great. Is there anything else you'd like our audience to know that we haven't covered?
I guess I briefly touched on the Globe downtown. The other kind of venues that we've looked at in terms of back to the arts and stuff like that. So we have Cafe in Berlin. It's opening back up soon. Pastries and coffee. The Globe downtown is an old historic theater from Berlin, Maryland. It's a big venue. We have out back of there a tiki bar, so that's really fun in the summer. And then otherwise on Main Street, we also opened a retail store maybe 2 years ago mm-hmm. called Viking Tree Trading Company. So slightly more catering to men in town. It's outdoors stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, clothing. We keep a motorcycle in the window for sale. Adventure stuff. The theme over there is always adventure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Branching out in a lot of different ways.
Right.
And that's cool. Well, again, remind everyone where they can find Burley Oak online.
Sure. Find us on Instagram at Burley Oak. On Facebook, you can find us Burley Oak Brewing Company. We've got Instagrams for the Globe Theater, Tiki Tim's, there's a tiki bar out back, the Viking Tree Trading Company. All Instagrams and Facebooks for all of them. They should be easy to find.
Sounds good. Well, again, we'll put that on our website at sharepintpodcast.com. Well, Adam, I want to thank you for your time today
and
for sharing a pint with me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Cheers.
Share a Pint is released bi-weekly on Friday mornings and can be found at sharepintpodcast.com. Follow us on Twitter at share_pint. And like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Share a Pint is now a proud member of the Hopped Up Network. Enjoy the show and like to contribute? Consider leaving a PayPal tip. You can do so at the PayPal button on our website at sharepintpodcast.com or search for us on PayPal at jerry@sharepintpodcast.com. Share a Pint is made possible by help from the Community Media Center of Carroll County. Music for the show, Groundwork, provided by Kevin McLeod, and can be found online at incompetech.com. Associated with the craft beer industry and have an interesting story you'd like to share on a future episode? Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at sharepintpodcast.com or email us at jerry@sharepintpodcast.com. Until the next time we share a pint, I'm Jerry Hulla. Prost.